Hi, my name is Ophélie, and you're listening to the Mama Activist Podcast, a podcast where we explore topics ranging from social justice, culture, politics, and news through deep conversation with myself, activists, humanitarians, and everyday people trying to make a difference. It's a space where we are willing to learn, grow, and be challenged collectively while highlighting activists doing amazing things in the world. From hearing new perspectives to learning new things, we are pushing for a better world, fighting for our liberation and reclaiming our power. So tune in and be a part of the movement.
Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of The Mama Activist with your favorite mama and your favorite daughter, Afra. Today's episode, I'm going to have a conversation with my sister Cassandra that you all know by then if you have been following and listening to our previous episode. Hi Cassandra.
Hi Ophélie. Hey Afra.
And today is just going to be an episode reflecting on my first year and a half as a mother while being an activist and traveling. And I wanted to have this conversation with my sister because my sister is pregnant. She's currently 38 weeks and she's going to be giving birth very soon. She thinks that she's going to give birth sooner than her due date. I think that she is going to give birth past her due date, but we'll see who is right. So hi, Cassandra, how are you feeling this morning?
Feel good. Feel good, thank you. And now I will be giving birth before. The ancestors listen to my prayers, so it's going to have to be before. Obviously, feel good. I'm grateful to be in this podcast with you to discuss a very important topic with my favorite first daughter, Anfra. Have this open discussion with you and hear your feedback and how was your experience and challenging and everything.
Yeah, I think, well, we just come back from Africa as well. We've been in France for the past week and a half, which has been, it's been good to be back with family, to see my brothers, to see our brothers, to see mom, to see dad. And just to be around family. But it's been also quite challenging to be back here. And, you know, it's very different there. Things work differently. And when people ask me why I now want to live in Africa, I mostly say that obviously it's to do with my activism and, you know, wanted to like be more present in the motherland and do a lot of unlearning and relearning, and also, you know, kind of like learn more about my identity, about my ancestor. But it also has a lot to do with my me being a mother and how is much more easier to be a single mother in Africa than it is in Europe. And also because of the way that I want to raise my daughter, it makes more sense for us to be in Africa. So yeah, my first year and a half, because Afra is about 1 year and 6 months now or 7 months now, while traveling and advocating, it's been a beautiful journey, to be honest. It's also been a challenging journey. It did come with challenges, but like I see those challenges as they have taught me a lot about the person that I am, the kind of mother I want to be, and also it has given me like kind of like more motivation in terms of like the causes I want to defend, the things I want to advocate for, and the kind of liberation I am advocating for, and also how I want to raise my daughter, you know. Being a mother was not like, I didn't plan it. It wasn't in my to-do list, at least not for now. So I didn't really know how I was going to to do it, especially being on my own and with the lifestyle that I have, like traveling and, you know, kind of like going with the flow and going with like my advocacy, you know. And for you, it's different because you wanted to be a mother, you know. You wanted this pregnancy.
Yeah. Me and you, I wanted to be a mother since I would say age 16. And I think it's due to, I guess, being the first and having this narrative of being the second mother pushes you to have maternal instinct earlier than you should, on my case.
Yeah, me, are you still here? Have we lost her? We've lost
you. I think first of 15, seeing all those babies and everything. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, I was saying, and also being the first of 15 grandchildren, because our grandma is really blessed. Seeing all those babies and babysitting and stuff, it just felt natural to me. At the same time, I also knew that having been raised by a single mother, with a dad that wasn't around to help, I just wanted to enjoy my life a bit more, I guess, and find someone I felt I could rely on. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So I just waited.
Yeah, and you waited
a long time.
Already, yeah. But I think you waited until you were ready now. I think me, you know,
yeah.
I had Afra, I was like, I'm going to have a child when I'm like 36, you know, when I'm like I was like, my career, like my advocacy, like the thing I came here to do are so important that I didn't really, it didn't, for me, it didn't have space for like family and like having children. So when I had Afra, I had to put everything into consideration. Like I was, how am I going to be able to keep doing what I know I want to be doing while having Afra? And for a lot of people, both of it, like both of, or like me being a mother and my advocacy, it doesn't make sense for them to be together. But for me, it just, Afra, for me, it just works perfectly, actually. Like having Afra and like the love I have for my daughter and the love I have for myself and the way that I am learning through motherhood, it kind of like changed a bit, like the kind of like causes I am supporting. Like before I had Afra, I was working mostly with like forced migrants. I was going to refugee camps, supporting Black community within like those camps. And now my advocacy is been focusing more on like people facing extreme poverty and like, you know, children, like orphan children or children who like are being exploited, children who are being abused. I think the mother in me is really like stepping into my advocacy, if it makes sense. And like me taking Afra and traveling with Afra, I'm obviously being careful not to take her in like spaces where like she wouldn't be safe, where we wouldn't be safe, because her safety is very important, but so is mine. But I don't, like it's actually, like being a mother came quite naturally to me, and I know that is something easy to say, and that is not the case for every mother. I know it. Adjusting to motherhood can be more challenging for certain people than others, but for me, it hasn't been that challenging to adjust to being a mother. Like I didn't think that it would be that easy and that natural, to be honest. I thought that everything will change, and everything has changed, but for the best. Like everything.
So for the one who doesn't know my sister, she is the best mother I ever seen. The way she took to parenting, the way she took to parenting, has been something I'm looking to her actually about how I'm gonna raise my own kids, from the way she interacts with Afra, this the way, you know, the bond they've created, the way she, just simple stuff like, you know, bed routines and stuff like that. You know, I hear a lot of mother being like, oh, it's so hard and so hard, and I look at my sister and I'm like, girl, how can you say it's so hard? Like, I've seen my sister
Yeah,
doing it, like.
it hasn't been that hard for me, but I think it has a lot to do with Afra as well, and the
Of
way
course.
that she is, and the way that we work together. I don't want to
Yeah.
we work well together. Her needs and my needs,
Extremely well.
yeah, exactly. Her needs and my needs just work well together. We are a team. We are a good team. Like, I don't really know how to explain it. And so traveling with her, it has is actually been easy. Afra, she's 1 year and 6 months now, and she's already traveled so many times. So many times. And people always wonder how I'm doing it, and like if she's not like crying all the time, blah, blah. And obviously baby cries, because sometimes, you know, they're not able to express certain things. So then when they are frustrated, their first instinct would be to cry. So she does cry, but she it's true that she's not the kind of baby who has a tendency to cry often, and I guess it's because she's not facing like issues that would push her to cry. But traveling with her, it's been so easy. Like, yes, Afra, traveling with Afra has been so easy that even sometimes I'm like, is she an adult or is she a baby? Like, she, like, taking the plane with her, because we've been to Africa a couple of times now. So we've traveled between Europe and Africa. Like, we went to Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, and for the past 6 months, sorry, we were living in Sierra Leone. And in between, we came back to France to visit my family, and to the UK to see my friends. And it hasn't been challenging to travel with Afra, and this is something I'm very grateful for, because obviously I'm a traveler, and I guess it's because she's been used to it since she was young. Like when she was born, a couple of months after, you know, we will go to you, we will travel to London from Brighton, we will come to France. So from a young age, I gotten her used to traveling, and maybe this is why she's cool with it, and maybe it's because I'm quite relaxed when I travel, because I'm also used to it, so I don't tend to stress or like to get overwhelmed and all of this. And you know how us parents, we like the way we are is going to impact our child, so she takes a lot from me, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Something that you do very well, and Afra took from you, is Afra, from the very, very young age, she knows her boundaries. Afra is a baby that knows her boundaries very well, because
yeah,
her mom
she
knows them
know
very well.
Something she's like, no.
But also you saved yourself from a very stressful situation that if you were to stay in, would have impacted Afra way more than necessary. And I think you getting away from it, being in a relaxed environment, your environment created a safe space where both of you could grow together as daughter and mom, which has been very important, I think, for your parenting style. I think the fact that, you know, you have your place, you have your home with many things, gives Afra this peace of mind and this stress-free environment to grow and to, like, you know, learn and develop in a, like, you know, a really relaxed environment. For example, if I were to compare with, I don't like to do this comparison, but it has to be said. If I take, for example, our lovely brothers, you know, they are the first men of our lives. They are, you know, when I look at them, I love them to bits, but they didn't have this privilege. They grew up in a very, like, you know, argumentative environment, sometimes violent environment. And unfortunately for the development, that wasn't the best for them, you know?
Yeah, because
And
yeah.
if they were to grow up in a safe environment where it was easy for them to communicate and violent free and stuff like that, I think their emotional intelligence would be slightly different. And you gave that to Afra. You had the choice and you decided, I'd rather be alone, but peace and free to give the best to my child than to just stick around in a sticky situation and have her emotionally traumatized, which could impact her development down the line. And I think that was your first best decision as a mother, to do it for her and for yourself, to save yourself that headache. And that's also what I believe also makes her like such a chill, because Afra is very chill. As a kid, you can take her to a wedding and she can be held by pretty much everyone until she's tired or hungry. She's one of the chillest baby I ever met. She smiles at everyone, she speaks to everyone, she looks like a little doll. And
She
I
likes
think it's because she
to dance, but
and she loves to dance.
yeah.
And I think it's because you gave her from the moment she was in the womb, despite all the stress you faced, a safe environment for her to develop nicely.
Yeah.
And today
Because
she's
I was also trying to create the same for me. I think in
exactly.
motherhood, a lot of the time, like mother tend to forget themselves, but
Exactly.
it's actually for me is very important to. For us mother to remember ourselves, even though our children, when we are new mother, you know, they become our new world, they become our priority. If we forget ourselves, it's going to have an impact on the child. So
Exactly.
as I, for me, creating a safe environment and making sure that Afra is safe is my priority, making sure I am safe and I am and creating a safe environment for myself as well is also one of my priority. And I think, yeah, I think that a lot of the time people are scared to become parents or at the idea of having children without being stable. Me, when I had Afra, I wasn't really stable because I'm an advocate. I didn't have like one income, you know, I had like many income. I'm a freelancer as well. Like, you know, if you have like a checklist of like how like society expects you to do parenting, like the template I have is nothing like the template that society expects you to follow. You know, I don't check any of those boxes. And I think that some of the fears that I had being pregnant and realizing that I was going to become a mother, especially when I took the decision to go forward with the pregnancy, was that, yeah, I didn't check any of those boxes. Like, I didn't have a partner. I didn't have like a house. I didn't have like a stable income. I didn't have all of this. And then I realized that, you know, it's not all to do with like being the perfect, like, being the perfect woman, you know, or like meeting all of like society expectations, feel like you're ready. Like I also had to accept a lot that nothing is really perfect, and that, you know, and that I had to make it work somehow. And I felt that I didn't really know what was going to happen with my advocacy. And for me, you know, my advocating for Black liberation, advocating for like social justice, for climate justice is my life. I like to say that my life is my work. So I had to make it work anyway with being a mother. And yeah, Afra coming into my life, she gave me more motivation to do this because now I'm also working and I'm also advocating for her to have a. Exactly. So she can have a safe environment. She can be safe. That she doesn't have to deal with like all the traumas that we had to deal with, all the like trauma from our families, the collective trauma by society, you know, all that internalized racism, all that safe hate that we were conditioned to be like to think that to have, you know, like now not only am I advocating for Black liberation, but I'm also advocating for my daughter to have a better life than I did. And you know, I see her as being like, she's like, you know how like our children, they always come with like new ideas, new values, new things. So like our mom, we are like we are like a development from her, and like Afra is going to be the same for her. She's going to teach me so much, and just by being, she's teaching me, you know. And I'm trying to like not have any expectations from her, and just letting her be. And I'm trying to let her be and create a safe and nurturing environment for her to grow in, I'm also learning about myself. I'm also learning about, you know, I'm also unlearning a lot, and I'm learning about like, yeah, what kind of person I would have been without all that oppression. Oppression from our family, oppression from society, what kind of person I would have been if I grew in a safer environment, in a more loving environment. And now I'm giving myself this environment so I can grow into that person. Like being a mother is teaching me so much about myself. It's teaching so much about myself, and it's allowing me to ground myself even more. And I think in terms of like my advocacy and my work, it has allowed me to do it from a more genuine place. From a more genuine place that, yeah, everything has changed in my life, but for the best. And it came with a lot of sacrifices as well. But I don't see the sacrifices as being... Yeah, they brought me even more.
You know, I'm pregnant, close to giving birth, but I haven't had the first year of being parents. But I do share that bit when you said most people are scared to be parents because they want to be stable and stuff. The reason, you know, I'm going to be 30 in August. I didn't plan to be mom at 30, actually. I thought I would be mom quite earlier, to be honest. I always thought I'll be mom by 25, 26. And at the time, I didn't really care to have everything aligned. I thought, you know, whatever happens will happen and fall in line when the time comes. But I just end up having a partner which already had a child, already has been through it in different manners, and didn't want to reproduce what he did the first time, which was having a child very young, not being able to provide as he should, et cetera, et cetera. And I do not think that at my stage, having a stable income, a house and stuff, will make me a better parent than someone who is considered to have ticked all the boxes, to be honest. I don't feel I'm any better than anyone else.
Money
yes,
doesn't make
I
it
have.
Better, yeah.
Exactly. Like, and actually, to be honest, I'm pretty sure the people who come from really rich family and stuff are usually the ones that are somehow the most emotionally damaged, because money is not everything. You know, you need your parents' affection,
yeah, sure,
your parents' love. There's no point of chasing money all the time if it's not to spend time with your kids. Like, for example, we have obviously our dad's that don't want that, I'll say that. And he was on the road from Monday to Friday to make money, and he was the heavily breadwinner at the time. And then on weekends he would just get out to see his friends. So while he brings the money on the table, which is one thing, you don't see him the whole time. So our brother grew up with not seeing their dad altogether for years. What good did that do to them? They have nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
On the contrary, you take my mom, our mom, for example, who stretched herself thin the best she could, going from working on the weekend, she was usually there. So we have good memories with her. Good and bad, but we have memories. I don't Yes, mommy. Yes. Ah, to me, your nose. Okay. So I don't think having everything aligned guarantee you to be a good parent. You can give a safer environment. That is something that cannot be denied. But is that going to make
But
it
also,
easier for
what is
parenting?
safe
I don't.
environment? What is truly safe
I
environment?
mean, like, okay, by safe environment, I mean stress-free. If you have a good partner with who you don't argue, you don't have any, like, violence home or something. And then when I say safe as well, and I'm thinking about incomes where you don't have to worry so much about money or something like that. Having all those things aligned does not guarantee you, like, I cannot say to you right now, yeah, having this will make me a good parent because it means
But
nothing.
for me, yeah, for me, having a safe environment means different things. In terms of money, I understand that money is an important element of.
No, I meant by the society's point of view. That's what
Yeah.
I meant.
But like,
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I understand that money like does give you like certain like stability and is an important element in safety in like especially in the West. But for me, safety also is important in terms of like how this environment allow you to feel. Do you feel like you have to deny some part of yourself? Do you think like you have to like meet other people's expectation, or do you feel like you can be yourself? Are you free to be yourself just by being? Or do you constantly feel like you have to do things to please other people, to make other people feel a certain way? How can you be focused on
Oh
yourself?
yeah, 100%.
Like all of those
100%.
elements.
To be where I am today, we had this discussion and we spoke about the workplace in a white corporate environment. To be where I am today, the amount of time I had just to comply and forget my identity was enormous. To forget my black identity in my workspace to be able to grow. To live in a most dominant white environment, being constantly worried about how my child will be perceived, even though he's going to be mixed race, all those things are big sacrifices for what I have right now, which wouldn't be the case if I were to live in Africa, for example, or something like that. Like, I am aware that I'm going to give birth to a child which will be half black in an environment which is completely white dominant. I'm actually worried about nursery. I'm worried about school. I'm worried about how the neighbor will behave with him. And that's part of the sacrifice I had to do to get it. And that is not safe environment for my child to have to worry about him being different and him having to understand from a very, very, very young age that he's going to be looked at differently. And then he will have to choose and understand that he has a dial. He has a dual or triple identity, and it's scary to be honest, because I don't know how to navigate that.
Yeah, the mixed race experience is like an underrated experience. I feel
It's
like
underrated experiences.
we don't really like make space. I don't think that there is a lot of spaces for mixed race kids to talk about their experience being mixed race and how did that impact them? How did that make them feel? And like the trauma that they
Because I have
experience because I like
exactly.
they have privileges, but the other side they are being seen differently by like their community. And yeah, I feel like we should make more spaces for like mixed race, for more space for the mixed
And
race experience.
exactly. And this is something that, honestly, us being fully black, grown up in France, is an experience that, unfortunately, like, you can rely your experience to Afra, both of you being fully black girl, but I had no idea how to convey this with a mixed race boy. We don't have any in the family.
Yeah.
And so Mikael, but he's 7 months. So there's many things that come with it, and for whoever listen to us, again, having by the book, for the one who doesn't see it, they're cuddling right now. They're kissing. They're smooshing each other, which is the cutest thing ever. But yeah, you know, and then I think what you did, Ophelia, as a mother, with the hardship that you faced, and looking how Afra is today, you know, if you were guys to see her, she's smiling all the time. She's very at peace. She's not a grumpy baby. She's not scared of stranger. She's not like, you
She's
know,
very
jumpy at the first
happy.
noise. She's very curious. She's not fussy with food. She eats everything. I mean, she's vegan, so forget the meat and dairy, but she eats everything.
Does eat.
And I think this is a clear proof that she had the best development environment she can get, because, you know, you're talking about a child that poops 5 times a day. Do you know any kids on a normal diet that poop 5 times a day? He has a digestion system better than all of us combined, I'm pretty sure. So, and you know, she. Sorry, I'll speak about Afra like she's my daughter, but she's kind of his. So,
She's the best daughter I could. I'm so grateful that she's the one that made me a mother. But on that note, little Miss Afra is in need of attention. And I think that we should end our conversation on that note,
Okay.
saying how wonderful Afra is. But yeah, like to summarize, like being a mother and being an advocate is it does work, you know. I didn't have to
Yeah.
like stop doing what I know how to do best. I just had to make some adjustments, some changes for her. And having her is actually a motivation for me to do my work even better, even more organized, to get like you know to get into community, to get organized with people who are who shares the same value and who are trying to like build the same vision that I have for the future, which is, you know, having environments where we are safe, where we are like relying on each other, where we are living like in harmony with nature, where we don't rely on like governments and all that, where we are kind of like living off grid a little bit. And this is what I'm trying to build for her and for myself. But anyway, thank you for anybody who
I
tuned
cannot wait to I cannot wait to have the same discussion in a year, so I can share my first year as a mother
in. Yeah,
too,
as a
and we
mother.
can discuss it.
Yeah, I can't wait neither. In the meantime, I'll be waiting for my son to come. And yeah, have
Yeah.
a thank you for anybody who tuned in. This was a very like personal conversation, which I think those conversations should also happen, you know, as much as like advocating and being serious is important. Being personal and talking about things such as like motherhood and life is also important, because advocating and the kind of advocating that I'm doing, which is advocating for liberation, our liberation should take place in every aspect of our lives, even in our motherhood, in the way we parent. So talking about parenting, about motherhood is just as part as my advocacy than, you know, talking with people who are working on the front line, who are trying to like support marginalized community, who are building schools for orphans. All of this is important. On that note, Cassandra, I love you. Have a beautiful day. And yeah,
I love you too. Thank you.
I'll see you in the next episode, guys.